Beloved congregation of the Lord, the church consists of all God's covenant people. And God's chosen way in the administration of the covenant of grace is to meet His people in the preaching of His word and the administration of the sacraments. And God's chosen way of ruling His church on this earth is through office bearers. The first letter to the Thessalonians is addressed to the church of the Thessalonians. And here in chapter 5, the chapter we read, the members of that church are addressed as brethren. We urge you, brethren. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are urging the brethren. And that word brethren means the brothers and sisters of the church, the brothers and sisters in the Lord. So this is an urgent request from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to the brothers and the sisters. We urge you, all of you, the whole congregation, he's saying. So there's a message here for pastors, for elders, deacons, baptized members, confessing members of the church. Our text this afternoon for this installation and ordination service is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. This is God's word. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. This text speaks to us of the duties in the church. First of all, the duties of office bearers, then the duties of lay people, and then the duties of both. Children, lay people are simply members of the church who are not serving as office bearers at this point. So first of all, the duties of office bearers. There's not a whole list of duties here in our text, but there are some descriptions of office bearers. And they are called here those who labor among you. So that's the first thing we need to know about office bearers. They labor. Office bearing can be hard work. It is toil. Even at times to the point of exhaustion. Work sometimes to the point of grief. Laboring with great efforts. Laboring, working, toiling, sometimes to the point of losing heart. And yet, laboring on in the strength of the Lord. The word labor here is what Peter uses in Luke 5, verse 5, when he says, Master, we have toiled all the night. Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. I labored more abundantly. Colossians 1, verse 29. I labor, striving according to God's working. The word labor is also used in this chapter as the labor of a pregnant woman. That kind of labor. Office bearers are laborers. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, Paul says, You remember, brethren, our labor and toil. For laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel. And he says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, For we, office bearers, are God's fellow workers. God's fellow workers. So, beloved, office bearers labor among us. They are laboring in our midst. Not only on Sunday, not only in consistory meetings, but they are among us, it says. That means beside us. Not laboring from a distance, not looking down on us. They labor among us. They labor with us. They toil. And it's hard work. And they labor on even when weary and even when discouraged. And they labor by coming beside us and counseling us with the holy word of God. Office bearers always come with the Bible. Family visits, hospital visits, baby visits, widows visits, shut-ins visits, all kinds of visits. And yet, even though that's true, they come to us with their Bibles, yet office bearers do most of their work on their knees, crying out to the Lord. Often their cry is, Lord, I don't know what to expect right now. I don't know what to say. Lord, I don't know what to do. Give me words to speak. Show me, lead me, help me. You see, one thing office bearers in God's church have going for them, they have the great office bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to for instruction. Because that chief office bearer, Jesus, he labored among us too. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate office bearer. He gave his life for the church. He labored among us. He paid the price. He suffered. He died for the church. And office bearers are involved in the most worthwhile labor in the whole world. They labor among us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, office bearers, says Paul, labor among you, and they are also over you in the Lord. Over you means they have the oversight of you. They're responsible for you. They direct you, and they are active in helping. They stand with you. They stand before you in the role of humble servants, providing protective leadership. Our office bearers, beloved, are concerned about us. They are there to aid us. They are there to care for us, as they are instructed in Acts 20, verse 28, where the apostle speaks to the elders of Ephesus, take heed to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So our office bearers are placed in a position among us and over us by the Holy Spirit himself, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The key to this phrase is the words, they are over you in the Lord. That means in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the church, and they are responsible first and foremost to the Lord. Our office bearers are over us, not in their own name. They didn't go campaigning to get chosen, not even in the congregation's name, but in the name of the Lord. So when an office bearer comes to you, he's coming in the name of the Lord with the word of the Lord, not with his own opinions. The Lord himself instituted the offices in the church. And the Lord has directed in his wonderful providence the vote for these two men who will be ordained this afternoon. And they will stand before you in the name of the Lord as men whom God himself has placed here. And they come with authority from the Lord. They have no authority in themselves. They come as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard a while back from the canons of Dort that the Lord's arrangement of authority in his church is God at the top, and then his word, and then the office bearers, and then the people. And the Lord administers his authority through elected office bearers. So, our text tells us they labor among you, they are over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. That's what they're called, those who admonish you. We don't use that word admonishment very often, though we should. It's a good word. It means to instruct you and to warn you. And in a biblical sense, it means to put biblical sense in our minds, to warn us and instruct us concerning a doctrine in our lives, to warn us and instruct us about our whole lifestyle. They labor among us. They're over us in the Lord. They admonish us. They come alongside of us, right where we are, right where we need them. Office bearers are among us, over us, beside us, behind us. And they're not better people than the rest of us. You know what's the difference, children, between the office bearers and the other men of the church? The Lord has given the office bearers a much greater responsibility. They're not holier than the rest of us. No, they are mere humble servants of the Lord. And that's how they come, to admonish us about doctrine and life. And how are they supposed to do this? With what should be their guideline? Well, it's always the Word of God, right? We always go back to the Bible, to thus says the Lord, always speaking the truth in love. And what is to be an office bearer's attitude when he is admonishing? Listen to how it's phrased in the Bible. Acts 20, verse 31. I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. That first of all. With tears. In Colossians 1, verse 28, he says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, with the goal that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's your office bearer's heart's longing for all of us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 15, as part of discipline, he says, admonish him as a brother. You summarize all that, you put it all together, then our office bearers come and they admonish us with tears. They admonish us as their beloved children and as brothers. And the Bible even says that that's true, not only for office bearers, but for all the members of the church. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 15, verse 14. Now, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and also able to admonish one another. It's not only the office bearers who admonish us. We admonish each other. And if at all possible, it's done face to face, verbally, according to the holy word of God. We pull out our Bible and say, look here, it says, brother, right here in the pages of the scripture. This is what the Bible wants us to be doing right now. Speak these things, says Paul. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no one despise you. So the responsibilities of office bearers here in this text, there may be more, is to labor among us, to be over us in the Lord, and to admonish us. That is a greater responsibility than being the Prime Minister of Canada. That's a greater responsibility than being the President of the United States or whatever presidency you can think of. This is a responsibility that God gives to men, knowing that no man is sufficient to do this work. And office bearers in their right place often feel that insufficiency. And we learn over time to ask that great question, that same question that the Apostle Paul asked in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16, and who is sufficient for these things? Who's sufficient for these things? And we hear the great answer. One chapter later, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4, and we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. That's our sufficiency. Not in us. We go to the God who called us. And the consequence of this truth is that office bearers know that the results of our work, the fruit of our labors, will always be the work of God through the Holy Spirit. Office bearers are not responsible for the results of their work. Those results are the work of God's Holy Spirit. Because these office bearers are over us in the Lord, His name, as His representative. Secondly, the duties of lay people. Lay people being baptized and confessing members of the church who are not currently office bearers. God works on us through means of the office bearers. They are like tools in God's hand. And three times the word you is used here. They labor among you. They are over you in the Lord. They admonish you, plural. You, the congregation. God gives office bearers for us, for our benefit. Read Ephesians 4, verse 11. You see that they are a gift from God. So when these two men stand up later on and say their yes to their ordination questions, you ought to look at them and say, these men are God's gift to us. We have responsibilities towards them too. And the first is, he says here, to recognize those who labor among you. To recognize them. And maybe some of the children are thinking, well, of course I recognize Mr. De Groot and Mr. Slinger. I know who they are. But that's not the word recognize that's used here. Recognize means to respect them. To give them the recognition due to them because of what they have been called to do. Give them the recognition they deserve because of their office. Show them respect and heed their admonitions. The Apostle Paul writes about his fellow office bearers in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 18. They refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. I can speak of personal experience that the office bearers of this church have often refreshed my spirit. The Lord has sent them with a word at just the right time. And it's been refreshing. How are we to recognize office bearers? What does that entail? I read it in Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. And verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Keep that in mind. Your office bearers must give account to God for the work they do in His church. Then he adds, let them do their work with joy. And not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. This is how God instructs us to treat our office bearers. Let us recognize our office bearers as God's office bearers and show them the respect due to them. They are there for us in the Lord on behalf of God. Let us show them. Do honor and respect in their work. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. All these men labor among us. They are over us, Lord. They admonish us. And Paul says to the church and to us, we urge you to esteem them very highly. Esteem them very highly. Respect them. Think highly. The Bible never says that. The Bible says, Esteem others better than yourself. Philippians 2, verse 3. And here he says, esteem your office bearers very highly. Esteem your office bearers very highly. Well, how highly is that? Well, the way it's written in Greek is the highest form of comparison. Beyond all measure, most highly, extremely highly. That same word used for very highly is used in 1 Thessalonians 3. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. And Mark 7, they were astonished beyond measure. So when Paul says here, esteem your office bearers very highly, he's saying, esteem them exceedingly and beyond measure. Esteem them very highly, higher than any other person for their work. Higher than any president of any organization or any successful businessman or whatever you could think of in the world. They esteem very highly its sports stars and its politicians and its musicians and its movie stars. We in the church, next to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we esteem office bearers very highly. And notice that it says, esteem them very highly in love. In love. With an attitude of love. With an attitude of appreciation. You know, Christian love, including the love for office bearers, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We are to esteem our office bearers very highly in love. And then he adds this, for their work's sake. First of all, because of whom gave him the work to do. Who is it that gives our office bearers their work to do? Mark 13, verse 34, the Son of Man gave authority to his servants and to each man his work. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our office bearers are doing the work of the Lord. In Philippians 2, he calls it the work of Christ. That's what our office bearers are doing, the work of Christ. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, if a man desires the position of a bishop, an overseer, or office bearer, he desires a good work. We are called as a congregation to esteem our office bearers very highly in love for their work's sake. Not for who they are. They're nothing in themselves. Your office bearers are simply empty-handed, needy servants. But their work is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are called and ordained by the Lord to be involved in the work of the Lord's hands. They are called to labor among us, to be over us in the Lord, and to admonish us. You realize that all the work an office bearer does and everything an office bearer is involved in church life is not his. This is not our church building. These are not our people. This is not our Psalter. This is not our Bible. It's all the Lord's. We handle holy things and the souls of people. Office bearers' duties to labor among you, to be over you in the Lord, to admonish you. Our duties towards our office bearers, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And what about the duties of both? The office bearers and the members of the church. What does he say? Be at peace among yourselves. That also comes under that phrase, we urge you, brethren, to be at peace among yourselves. That happens more often in the Bible. We're commanded to do that. 2 Corinthians 13, be of one mind, live in peace. This morning we heard Jesus say it to his disciples in Mark 9, verse 50, have peace with one another. In Romans 12, Paul instructs the church, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That kind of tells us, it implies that there may be times when that's not possible. When would that be? That would be when the Word of God is being compromised. When false doctrine is being taught. When the essentials of salvation are denied. Or when non-essentials matters begin to have a dividing power in the church. You can never have peace in the church at the expense of the truth of God's Word. That's a foundation. Be at peace among yourselves. Have peace. Cultivate peace. When we do, we can expect blessings. Listen to Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Oh, that peace is one of the grand themes of the Bible, isn't it? In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, he says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always in every way. The Lord be with you all. And in Ephesians 4, we are instructed to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The writer to the Hebrews tells us to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Living at peace amongst each other is part of that holiness. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them who make peace. James 3 verse 18. No matter what all our different backgrounds are, we are called to be at peace among ourselves. How can we all live in peace with each other, regardless of who we are, either as office bearers or as lay people? You know how that is? That is done by being willing to take the lowest place. To be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, who came not to be served, but to serve. And he did it with all humility. We heard this morning, and we heard it over the past few weeks, that humility and service and tolerance and holiness and peace, that's greatness in the church. And being at peace will be the result of every one of us fulfilling our responsibilities as office bearers, and lay people, and among each other. As lay people towards our office bearers, and among each other. Should always keep in mind three key phrases in this text. We are here in the Lord. We are here in love. And we are here at peace. That's what we are to be striving to maintain, up, to pursue peace. And what is the source of this peace? Where does that come from? It's God's eternal counsel of peace. Isaiah 54 verse 10. My kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord. who has mercy on you. That's where peace in the church comes from. Philippians 4, verse 7, the peace of God passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that Jesus himself is called in Isaiah 9, verse 6, the Prince of Peace. Let us embrace his promise by faith. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now we know the duties of office bearers, the duties of lay people, and the duties of both. I want to close this service by applying three verses of this chapter as Christ's words to us on the occasion of installation of office bearers, to all of us. Verse 23 of this chapter, where he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the office bearers, verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. What a promise to plead for office bearers. And then to the congregation for the office bearers, verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Amen. We're going to sing.